We're still deep in the season for root vegetables. Potatoes and carrots are staples for many households. But at this point in mid-February, you may be getting tired of mashed, boiled, and baked potatoes and sautéed carrots. The sunchoke is a bright, happy-sounding alternative. The herbaceous perennial plant looks like a yellow daisy, and its tuber is eaten like a root vegetable. Erica Wides, who's known to foodies everywhere as Chef Smarty Pants, is back with us to talk about sunchokes, what they are, and how to use them. That's for this week's Last Chance Foods. Welcome back, Erica.
Thanks, Amy.
I've never had a sunchoke.
Oh.
Tell me what it is, what it looks like. It looks sort of potato-y from pictures I've seen on the web.
It sort of looks like a potato and a ginger root got together and had a baby.
Okay.
Sort of like a gnarly, knobbly thing, but doesn't have like the hand shape of ginger. But inside they have this nice crispy, kind of creamy beige flesh, a lot like jicama.
Farmer Lee Jones of the Chef's Garden in Huron, Ohio, a guest here on Last Chance Foods, grows two different types of sunchokes, an orangish-red heirloom called the garnet and the traditional tan-colored one you're describing. He explains, many of us have probably passed this tuber without even knowing it.
It is in the sunflower family. In fact, your listeners may have seen them growing along the roads, and it looks like a small sunflower blossom. And, you know, they grow pretty prolifically.
Have you ever grown them? I understand they're easy to grow.
Yeah, they're easy to grow. When I was a kid, we had them in our garden. But they're so easy to grow that they're considered a weed by a lot of gardeners and like a scourge, like they'll take over. And if you don't want them anymore, you have to completely dig them up because if you leave a little piece behind, it'll grow all over again.
All right, New Yorkers, those of you who grow sunchokes, let us know if you've had problems with them, you know, leaping the fence and taking over your neighbor's backyard. Sunchokes are also called Jerusalem artichokes,
right.
But it's neither an artichoke nor does it have any relation to Jerusalem.
They're native to North America, northeastern North America, and Native Americans have been growing them for, you know, forever, centuries. And when the first settlers came, there were Italian settlers that came and saw them being eaten, and they said, oh, they, you know, it looks like a sunflower. And so they called them girasole because the Italian word for sunflower is girasole. And then some American English speaker couldn't get the whole girasole thing. And so they turned it into Jerusalem instead. They're not related to artichokes either. But when Samuel de Champlain came and was making his way around, he sent some notes with them back to France and said, look at this plant. And he said, oh, it tastes sort of like an artichoke.
And Sam, the Frenchman, must have done this early enough that sunchokes are considered a heritage food in France. It's been around for quite some time.
Right.
They call this tuber a topinambour, which also means an uncouth or uneducated person.
Yeah, topinambour, right. And in Germany, they actually make a spirit called topinambour that they distill from it.
Well,
yeah.
Related to that, Farmer Jones has a theory about why sunchokes aren't more popular.
I think that it was really kind of looked at as more of a layman or a poor man's vegetable that really sort of got pushed to the side. It was an American Indian vegetable, and I think it was one of those crops that, like many in the United States, got lost.
So it's time to rediscover the sunchoke. Are they easy to find?
They're not, you know, in your corner grocer necessarily, but I've seen them in markets and sort of better high-end markets and in the farmer's markets.
Isn't that funny? The poor man's potato is now in the high-end market.
Well, everything heirloom is really just, you know, the things that people ate out of desperation really hundreds of years ago. Also, I had read that for a while there was a stigma against them because the way that they look resemble the way that lepers' fingers look, and so there was this belief that eating them caused leprosy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But eating them doesn't cause leprosy, but it can cause gastric distress.
Oh, yeah. I was reading online. There's this herbal in 1621 that quotes a planter as saying they cause the belly to be pained and tormented and are more fit for swine than man.
Yeah. Well, the starch in them is not like a potato starch. It's something called inulin. It's a starch that breaks down into fructose, not glucose. But a lot of people don't have the digestive capability to digest inulin, and so they can get extreme distress from them.
So eat cautiously. Erica Wides, a.k.a. Chef Smarty Pants, hosts the show Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show on Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for coming in.
Sure, anytime. Thank you.
To get Erica's recipe for sunchoke soup, click on culture at WNYC.org. I also blog about my Last Chance Foods interviews. Check it out under Amy's Food for Thought.